Lord Jesus, living word, only your truth I would speak, only your truth we would hear. Amen. I woke this morning, as every morning, to a world that begs interpretation. It was very early, the phone rang. I did not get up to answer it, but I heard a worried voice on the answering machine, and so I did get up. It was no emergency, but a friend had left a message. She could not sleep until she shared some troubling news, something I should be aware of. And I thought, well, that's fine, and I wrote myself a note, and then I headed back to bed, back to that vaguely troubling dream I had woken from. There's nothing exceptional in this. This is the world we know, the human world that we must both love and sometimes protect ourselves from, a world we try to care for and try to understand. I mention it only because after receiving a message on the phone, I was aware of other messengers. There were four of them on my front lawn. I wouldn't have known they were there except for the shadows moving against the kitchen curtains. It was the branches of the tree, I thought, moving in the wind. But I did not hear the wind. So I parted the curtains, and there, bless my soul, I saw 1, 2, 3, 4 deer, white-tailed deer, under the branches of the tree and under the falling snow, silhouetted by the streetlight. A buck and 3 does. They were nosing through the snow, eating the clumps of berries fallen from the mountain ash tree. The buck was standing on his hind legs, dancing, his head thrown back, eating the berries hanging from the lower branches. At the sudden light from the kitchen, through the parted curtains, the 3 does lifted their heads. The buck dropped to his front legs. They turned, they looked at me. I don't have to tell you how beautiful they were, how still, how perfectly calm and self-contained. I was, as always, struck dumb. We know, of course, that these are creatures of the earth as we are. Yet so peaceful do they seem, so perfectly at home upon their earth, they seem almost unearthly. They live as all the wild ones do, with a spacious quietness that we, human beings, can envy and can destroy, but never truly comprehend. If the answering machine had one thing to teach me, that the world is full of trouble, the deer on my front lawn, it seemed, had another thing to teach me. I stared at them, they stared at me, and what came to mind, the gift delivered, the message received, were the familiar words, silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Not a bad way to begin Christmas, I thought. And I did not go back to bed. The sun came up, I made coffee and porridge. And as the deer outside ate their breakfast, I ate my breakfast. And I wondered, as I often do, as you often do, how to make sense of the world. How do we reconcile the contending tragedies and comedies of our lives? How might I comprehend within one mind the troubled message on my answering machine, requiring time and energy I do not have, and the quiet witnesses of deer feeding outside my window? We wake every morning to a world that begs interpretation. We wake into a world that insists that we must both strive and be at peace. We must both protect ourselves and yet give ourselves. We must hold firm to our responsibilities and yet allow ourselves to be held. Life, then, is a question. And how do we answer such a question? Or you, when you speak of your life, where does the accent fall? On the burdens or on the blessings? On the darkness or the light, the fear or the hope, on death or on love. Well, the Christian gospel, I am pleased to tell you, without dismissing the realities of sin and death, taxes and trouble, insists that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. Insists that hope is a greater engine than fear, that love is stronger than death. As Christians, we affirm those moments, mandated in Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and scheduled firmly in the calendar of the Christian year, in which we claim the primacy of light and of hope and of love. At Christmas, we claim the vision offered of Isaiah, who speaks clarity into our contradictory lives. Now, like you and me and all of God's people in every time and place, Isaiah inhabits no fairy tale world. 6 centuries before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah foretold and then witnessed and then grieved the invasion of Jerusalem by the Babylonian army. He watched helplessly as the city's walls were torn down, the temple reduced to rubble, the leaders of his nation carried into captivity. Isaiah was no stranger to darkness. Yet in the midst of his dark times, he prophesies. He speaks of a future so clear to him that he describes it as past. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Isaiah was no stranger to the poverty and hunger that awaits a conquered people. Yet he glories in the coming, inevitable triumph of God. "You have enlarged the nation," he said, "and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest." Isaiah did not doubt within history the inevitability of war. Yet he declares a coming peace that will arrive as if from outside of history. He declares an all but unbelievable peace, a peace which is not just the absence of war, but is the presence of God. A peace in which every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Isaiah was no stranger to the luxury of princes and the corruption of kings. Had he nothing but earthly monarchs for his example, he would have despaired for the future of Israel. Yet still he prophesies, speaking of a future king who will justify even the most outrageous optimism. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Thus spoke the prophet Isaiah, and those who did not love him for his courage and optimism despised him for his courage and his optimism. Because it seems, ultimately, that we do have to choose. We must claim a loyalty. Light or darkness, hope or fear, love or death. It is a privilege merely to speak the words of Isaiah. But this evening, we get to do even more. We speak of their fulfillment. For as the writer of Hebrews says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. At Christmas, we celebrate how the Word of God is not just spoken, but the living Word himself speaks. The living Word arises from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and takes flesh within a young Jewish woman, Mary. "And unto us a child is born and a son is given." This eternal and living Word, through whom the Spirit first exhaled, "Let there be light," and thus created all things, now takes his place within our world. The eternal Word, born of the Spirit, is born in a human time, in a human place, born as you and I were born, in all the contrariness of human history. We celebrate how, in the person of Jesus, God becomes human. It's an idea so crazy that only God himself can carry it off. The Creator submits to his own creation. God becomes one of his own creatures. Eternity enters into time. Infinitude occupies space. God dresses himself with bones and blood and skin, is born as a wailing human child, and given a human name. We call him Jesus. We call him Savior. He calls us brother, sister. He has come that we might live within his life, that we might die within his death, that we might be raised in his resurrection, that we might know one day with Christ the fullness of the presence of our God, our Maker. And if all of this sounds just too good to be true, I can only ask you, what other purpose might life have? On Christmas Eve, on Christmas morning, we wake, as always, to a world that begs interpretation. We resolve, as always, to bear our proper burdens, our many responsibilities, for thus the duties of love are fulfilled. But we rejoice how the love of God offers more than it requires. We are promised through many messengers, dear on the front lawn, words of Scripture, the words of the prophets, kindness from friends, the sacraments of the church, and our own best dreams and memories, that whatever our burdens may be, we are borne by another, are sustained by a greater than human love, even the presence, the peace, the future, and the freedom of our God, through Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.